Well, I thank you for your prayers.
Brother Mike, you just hold on. Glad to be back down in La Ronja again. I'd like to look at a verse or two in the 21st chapter of Matthew. Oh, let's see, 21 and 17. It says, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, that's quite a high thought. Very definitely said, very powerfully said. But how much of the reality of that do you really feel like you have in your own life? Never dried up a fig tree. But Jesus said that you do it. I mean, he says you can do it. And to be honest with you, I can see it kind of coming in handy. Times, I mean, if you was in that kind of business, could work out pretty good. I've never moved a mountain. By faith. Now, if I was in the earth-moving business, that could be a real benefit. You think of the savings on the overhead that you'd have on that. I mean, you could really run an efficient business that way. You need a load of dirt, Brother Michael? It's up at your house right now. It's pretty easy done. You know, the Lord wasn't saying that. Now, I don't think the Lord ever intended anything like that at all about this. But it's hard for me to think that the Lord didn't mean something by it. And I think that the Lord meant plenty by it. That he wanted not only His disciples of the moment to grasp hold of. I think it's in the Word. I think the Lord had intended that this lesson go through the generations of time, down to even us, that we could grasp hold of something here that would be very beneficial to us in life, that would help us and bless us. I think everything the Lord did was like that. I remember an advertisement for the Bible trivia game that we used to have. It's the game where trivia is not trivial. And that's true. Every word and phrase of the Word of God is meaningful. Amen. I don't think the Lord has any interest at all in us being able to just look at a tree and tell it not to have any fruit anymore and it wither up and dry away real quick. I find hardly no use for it in my life. I don't find it needful, but yet the Lord meant something by this. And I want us to maybe allow our minds to at least ponder some of the things that the Lord might have been trying to get to them in this object lesson, other than just the idea that that's a neat trick.
and I'm going to impress my friends by it. I don't think that's what the Lord was doing, but He was making a powerful suggestion to their mind, some inevitable realities about Himself that they couldn't deny and we can't either. The Lord comes along and expects some fruit on a tree. I think that you and I could allow that wondering a little bit tonight to wonder if the Lord can't look at us and have some expectations. He knows what the tree is. He created it. The Lord created the fig tree. Created it to function a certain way. I don't say there's any choice or problem with the fig tree doing it, but this isn't about a fig tree. Surely it isn't about a fig tree, but it's about us. And I think the Lord wants us to bear fruit. But look at what He did. Look how quick He done it. There must be a lesson in it that the Lord wanted to emphasize something to their minds that would have escaped them had this progress happened over years' time. It would escape the meaning. But it happened presently. It happened immediately. It happened in such a small time that it grasps their attention that there's something abnormal that is not following a natural procedure here. It isn't dying from disease. It isn't dying just in a natural progress because it don't have enough water or anything like that. It's dying because the Lord told it to. You know, there are some givens here. Surely only the one that could tell it to die could tell it to live again. If you can accept the fact that the Lord can say to a tree, die, and it dies, then the given is that you have to expect that if He said live, it'll live again. Do you know the Lord could have come back the next day, walked by that tree and said, thou barren and dead tree, have life. You believe that He would have, it had butted up? Well, it's the given here then. But He looks at them and says, in another scripture, have faith in God. Have faith in God, and here's your object lesson to it. And this is what I think is meaningful to us, because I think the Word of God, all of the Word of God, these scriptures, there has to be a place to you and I have a place to where these scriptures come alive. And to where you can say, this scripture means something to me. This I have lived and understand this scripture. I can say amen to this scripture. I know what He wants me to believe and to do. You know, there will be things in every one of our experiences. There's going to be obstacles that are like trees. There's going to be places that need to dry up. There's going to be things in our life that needs to dry up. And the Lord is trying to say to us that within His power, touching His power by faith, which is essential, we must touch Him by faith, to be able to touch Him by faith, there is problems and places in every one of our lives, whether it's environmental, whether it's cultural, whether it's genetic, or whether it's a personality, or whatever it is that creates the place, there's going to be places in every one of our lives that absolutely need to dry up, and you and I don't have the capability to do it. That's right. It's something that you and I can't do by ourselves. And He wants to say to us, and said to these disciples here, oh, how quickly it dried up. Do you realize that within the realms of your life and possibility, you can have the understanding that you can say to the fig tree, it's not the literal fig tree. But it's the difficulties, the problems, the things that need to dry up in life, the things that need to be banished, the desires that we shouldn't have towards things that are passionate, we've laid our hearts on them, maybe they're meaningful. Have you ever dealt with something like that that you like? I mean, did you have a passion or desire for it, that the Lord is calling for it, and you struggle, and you know what that thing is, and it needs to dry up? It needs to dry up, and how am I going to dry up a heartfelt thing how am I going to dry that up? I go to the altar sometimes with some of the young people, and they come sometimes and says, I'm hooked to, I don't have this and never have. But they say, I'm hooked to country music. I'm hooked. You know, in my mind, how could you be hooked on it? Well, I do. Well, how can you be hooked much on that? I mean, get hooked on fishing. I mean, get hooked on hunting. Get hooked on something. I can understand that. But it's real to people.
It is.
It's real to people.
Yes,
and the Lord said, dry up. Dry up. And it dries up. And how quickly it dries up. Have faith in God. He's powerful. And if He can say, dry up. Oh, attitude, dry up. That bitterness that you have towards your brother, dry up. That desire that you have that isn't right towards God, in God, dry up. I believe that He can. I believe it's what He really means. Surely He don't want me to just have enough faith to go and destroy your all landscaping. I don't think Brother Carlos would like that too much. Just going to be able to go, hey guys, what's this? And go around and your trees are... What benefit does it... God isn't interested in that. He wants to teach us something though. A lesson and a power. If He can say it to a tree, He can say it to your attitudes.
That's right.
It was a lesson. He can say it to those kind of things. And by reason, if He can say to an inordinate affection, be dried up, then He can say to a righteous idea, blossom.
Yes,
I want to do right. I want to serve the Lord. I want to have the same feelings towards the Son. You know, I've heard all the time, and I agree. I mean, I love the songs in our songbook. I love the life that's in them. But do you know that not everybody necessarily can feel that way? It's true. I do appreciate it and all, but there can be some that can say, I wish that I felt about those songs the way the old saints felt about them. Because they thought they were just wonderful, and to me, they're just kind of bland. One of my uncles said to my grandma one time, she said, my grandma was saying to them, they like to play music and do all this music and stuff, and she said, you want to hear real music? Listen to this. They listened to the saints sing a little bit and said, Mom, how do you listen to that? It seems like it needs spruced up a little bit. Well, that wasn't my idea. It wasn't hers, but it was theirs. And they didn't have the same mind towards it, but they can have. Do you know they can have? You can say, well, boy, there's people that come and just say how much they love to go to service. Just love to go to service. And as much as I want to go, I just sit and fidget and say, come on, get going. Let's do something. There's nothing here. Do you know that the life can spring in there? If God can say dry up to one, He can say live to the other.
Right.
Have faith in God. Lord, I need more passion about the work of God. God can speak passion back into it by faith in God. God can make you desire and want the things that you may not, that you know that you need it, but you don't know how to get it. But God is the God supposed to say, dry up and live. I think it's part of the lesson of this Scripture. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. I don't remember, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but is there any evidence in the Scriptures that any of the disciples cursed the fig tree after that? I don't know. I don't think so. But He says not only, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, you're not only going to be able to do it to the fig tree. We want to go a step farther here now, the Lord's saying. You just saw the witness of my power. But we'll take another step into this. If you will believe, if you'll have faith and doubt not, you can do that too. But you can also do this. You can say to the Mount of Olives, be rooted up and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Now, in all of my thinkings and meditatings and wonderings and all of the scriptures and everything I've read, I have no accounts or recollections of accounts in memory in my all of my memory from the days of the apostles until the present day. I've read no account where a man had faith and moved a literal mountain. I've never read. George Mueller didn't do it. Husband Taylor didn't do it. D.S. Warner didn't do it. I don't know that any of them did it. And because God wasn't intending for him to do it. And that's not what he was saying there. There's an old idea that was a part of the Jewish religion, I understand. Some of the rabbis were called removers of mountains. And why they gave them the title of that was because they solved the perplexities and difficulties that people had. They would come to them with perplexing problems and would say, "What's my answer?" And these remover of mountains would give them the proper word of God and remove their perplexities. And they were called removers of mountains because that's really what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know, not that it's the right thing to do, but I don't say, I have some property and I get rid of junk trees. I cut a lot of brush off of it, do that kind of stuff. And I never come up one and said, be cursed and dry up. And I'm not going to doubt. I'm just going to have faith that it's going to happen. And while I'm at it, I'd like it to be in lengths of firewood about 20 inches long and stacked.
It don't
happen by faith, but it happens because I get my steel out and I do it.
Yes.
And so it is with human problems many times. I'm not saying it's what the Lord wants us to do, but I'm saying it's what that we can do many times with our problems, because trees, even in the days of the Bible, when it said something about being like a tree planted by the waters, and there was something sturdy and strong and enduring about a tree. There's something there about it. If they're not easily moved, they're not easily, especially in those days. It wasn't easy. There was an obstacle. There could be an obstacle. Yet by faith you can deal with the trees. Yet they're within the realms of our possibilities. Many times if we want to humanly try to deal with them, we can. Even in that day, you can give me an axe. And now, I wouldn't want to do it. But if I had to do it, even that big oak tree out there would succumb to me if I had an axe. And I wanted to start, I could eventually wear that tree down. By my human ability, by what the Lord's given me, the strength that I have, that He gives me daily, I say, I could work that tree up. But He went a step farther. And He said, there's mountains. There's mountains too. There's trees of life that we all face and go around, and you can go around them. You can cut them out of the way. You run over them if they ain't too big. You can do a lot of things with trees that happen in life. But He said you also have to deal with the mountains. There is, folks, if I had to title this message after all the going around of it, it would be Remover of Mountains. Because we find mountains that's impassable. We find things in life that is so much bigger than my capability. If you gave me the job and somebody that had the power to do it would say, Marty, here's you a double bit axe. I'll give you even a stone to sharpen it with every one vial. But you can't leave this campground till you get that tree on the ground out there. I can get that tree to the ground. But if you said of Cheat Mountain up our ways, Marty, you're not leaving out of here till you move every bit over the Atlantic Ocean. There isn't enough lifetimes for me to make a dent in it. I'd say the leaves would about cover up any scar I could put on it as fast as I could make it. I couldn't move it out. It's too big for me. But the Lord says here in the Scripture, but not only will you deal with the trees, but He says you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done by faith. By faith touching the power of God. I'm telling you, He is not wanting me to move Cheat Mountain. Not bucket by bucket or shovel or by faith. He's wanting me to deal headlong though in problems that's too big for me. He wants me to be a man of God when a man of God's hard to come by. He wants me to be faithful to do the work of God when everything's against me and I can accomplish it and be it and do what I need to do no matter what it is. God has given people the ability to be bigger than they are. That is the mountain that He wants removed. There is perplexities and problems and difficulties in life, and by faith you and I can move the mountains. By faith we can, many times it is being bigger than the mountain. It is to be able to remove out of there that I can be what God would have me to be. And throughout the ages of time, I've never heard of anybody that ever literally moved any mountain by faith. But folks, there has been people that seemed weak. They wasn't necessarily the loud fire and brimstone preachers. They wasn't necessarily the one that was up front. Sometimes they was the more quiet or shy one back in the congregation that were a remover of mountains. That God, by faith, God allowed them to stand up and do the impossible. I remember several years ago hearing the story of a woman whose daughter had been abducted, abused, and killed. Young daughter, about 7 or 9, something in that age. They caught the man that done it. Tried him and found him guilty. And they say this mother has the right to face him. So she faces him. Now I'm going to tell you, of all the feelings, allow yourself just for a moment to understand what those feelings must be. To be robbed of life. To be robbed of hope. To be robbed of what that could have been and would have been. To be robbed by somebody that wanted nothing but for a moment. You'd be really, really, really easy to hate that guy. It would be really, really easy to say, can I be the one that pulls the button or lever or pushes the button? Whatever, can I at least get the feeling? But she faced him. She didn't say that. She said, I forgive you and love you. God loves you and I love you. And God wants you to be saved. You know, this woman, how could she have done it? She robbed of the most precious thing that she had. She was a remover of mountains. This is what the Lord wanted to tell the disciples. The Lord wanted to tell the disciples that you're going to face things and it's going to be way too big for you. But people's going to come against you. And you're going to face things that's humanly impossible. But faith will remove that mountain. By faith, you can say to that mountain, that difficulty that stops me from having the righteous mind, the right way of thinking, the glory to God that it ought to be.
And I can say to that mountain, be removed. Amen. And it can be removed. I think she removed the mountain. And remember another story from not so many years ago of a woman that was in the Middle East. She was a Christian woman. And she evidently broke some of the laws of the place that was around her. And so the fitting punishment that these people thought, these bandits thought, was they poured acid on her face. You know, it's very, I'd say it's more important to most young women about what they look like than what I care about what I look like. They poured acid on her face that destroyed her face. Her facial features. And they were caught and brought to trial. Found guilty. And their law states an eye for an eye. The punishment was to give her the acid. Now here there's their faces. I could just almost feel like pouring it on there myself for her. Because they robbed her. They robbed her of self-respect and dignity, the ability. It was so horrific that she couldn't show her face for this. They robbed her of a section of her life, a God-given part of her life, and they took it from her. But instead of pouring the acid, she says, "I forgive you." A remover of mountains. She has the ability to go beyond that huge loss, the huge feelings, the emotional things. I mean, Lord help us sometimes. Honestly, folks, if you get your feelings out on your elbows and you go through life like that, you're going to be in problem all the time. God's given us the ability through faith to be a remover of feelings and a remover of mountains. To be able to overcome those things that hurt. And to be able to be right in the middle of being done wrong. But it doesn't come easy. And I don't say this lightly or flippantly either. Because I've been there. It is a battle sometimes to face that mountain. And all of a sudden I realize that's a bigger mountain than I thought it was. I thought that was a bush that I'd ride over or I'd cut down or I'd get rid of one day by plucking or pulling. And I've been plucking and pulling and it's got bigger and bigger and now it's so much bigger than me that these feelings that I can't get out, I was done wrong and I feel done wrong. I'm violated. And I cannot overcome it. Then there's these words by faith. If you have faith and doubt not, you can remove that. You know, I feel like that if somebody says that I'm ugly and stupid and they don't like me, I honestly feel like that's just a tree. And it can be plucked up pretty easy. But you know, you can face things sometimes that's a mountain. It's a mountain. Just recently in the news, there was a man, I believe he was from Indianapolis, a family. They had a child in a baby bed and the wife was pregnant. And three young men was burgling the house and got this woman and abused her and shot her in the head and killed her. And they were caught. This woman's husband's a pastor. They interviewed this pastor and he says, "I have the strongest urge to hate these men." Now, this is his words. "I have the strongest urge to hate these men, but I've chosen in my heart to forgive them." Now, I don't know who he is, but I'm going to tell you. He removed the mountains. By faith, doubting not and believing in the power of God beyond your own power, he done something that can't be done. He removed the mountain. I can't help from admiring the man that could do it. what hurt he must have had. A family, a wife at home, another child on the way. If somebody for so little, almost nothing, robs this man. They stole the precious things that he had. What would you feel like? You think there's a power to overcome those kind of things?
Yes,
they didn't easy. Don't take it lightly. Don't go, well, I can just blow through. There's things, and they're called mountains for a reason. They're too far to go around. You can't dig through them or under them. And they're too high to go over. They're mountains for a reason. And they stand, and you know what they do? Folks, you know what a mountain's to do? You don't get that here so much. You don't get it out west. You get it in my place where there's mountains. You got a mountain right in front of you. You don't see anything but a mountain. It consumes your vision. You don't see the future. You don't see what's out on the horizon. You don't see anything, but you look right into a mountain and it's all you see. And it's all you ever see until you remove the mountain. When you remove the mountain out of the way, then you got a clear vision of what it really is and what it's supposed to be. You can see again. But a mountain is an obstacle to a clear vision, a far vision. A vision is what it's supposed to be. You can't see it. Many people will allow the mountain to stay there and lose the vision. And won't even believe that there's a way that you can live till you can forgive murderers. No, now we can arm ourselves and we shoot them. You're not removing no mountain.
Yes, that's right.
Not that way. If you never see clearly what the Lord wants us to be until you get the mountain out of the way, then it's easier to see what God really wants us to be. There was a lot of people. One of them was in the Bible, a man named Stephen. You can find it over in Acts. He comes up and gives them a good Holy Ghost mouthful. He preached to them. It says he said he was full of the Holy Ghost when he done it. And most people would look at it and say that's some pretty hard words from the Holy Ghost. It was directly right to the point for these people. And they started stoning him to death. Hey, folks, you only got one life. One's all you get. Somebody starts taking it from you. If there's no returns, you don't get another one. They're taking his life from him. And he takes a high road. He removes the idea of bitterness out of his heart, the idea of that, and he asks the Lord not to lay it to their charge. He moved the mountain. By faith and doubted not. I believe that his vision stayed clear. I don't believe if he had had that attitude, he would have been able to see over that mountain and be able to see the Lord standing on the right hand of God. But with that attitude, he was able to have a clear vision without the mountains in the way. Lord, forgive them. Don't lay it to their charge. He removed the mountain. Been others that removed the mountain. I think of a man that we talk about sometimes, wrote Pilgrim's Progress, second most published book in the history of the world, I heard. Next to the Bible, it was number one. It would have been number two, next to the Bible. He was robbed by religious people a good section of his life. Got him crossweighed on a conviction that he couldn't turn away from. The Lord had called him to minister and preach, and he believed so much in it that he would not give it up. So they threw him in jail. But he was able to write Pilgrim's Progress. He was able to hang on to his faith. I find it very interesting that he was in there 11 years before he started writing Pilgrim's Progress, and he got out right after he got through writing it. I think the Lord wanted him to write it. He just had to come to that kind of place. And a mountain in his way. I imagine when he first put him in there, it takes some time sometimes to do this, folks. Jesus said, have faith and doubt not. But I believe he moved the mountain. I understand that he had a little daughter, maybe a little blind daughter or something, and an ailing wife, and with all that and the concerns and all that he had, he still loved the Lord and moved the mountains. There was another man named Horatio Spafford, I think was his name, that sent some his family. Remember the story? His wife and daughters go across to going to Europe and going on a ship and going to Europe, and he stays back, and the ship has troubles and goes down, and if I'm not mistaken, he lost a son just before that by sickness. Loses two daughters in the Atlantic Ocean. Then over there, you know the story. He gets over there and asks the captain to let him know about where that ship goes down. How big are you tonight? You got any mountains? Loses all of his property to a fire, loses his son to disease, and loses his daughter to the cold Atlantic Ocean. And he stares down in the water by the car. You think there was any tears dropping off in there? How can you handle those kind of things in life? I shiver sometimes to even think that I'll have to. Lord, help me. Can I be a remover of mountains? Jesus said, do you have faith and doubt not? We weren't talking about the literal mountain, surely. But folks, we have that kind of stuff to deal with in our lives all the time. We're not done yet. And as he looked down there in the chilly waters, he got the verses to one of the most favorite hymns, one of the most inspiring hymns. 'Tis well with my soul. All this has happened and befall me, and it comes at the end of what can you say from our loving God? Are we ever challenged of our faith and the belief that we hold in such times as that? Could the song that he sung been one of bitterness and heartache? Yes. But still, 'tis well with my soul. Through all of that, his vision was right because he removed the mountains. That's why he done it. He was able to be a remover of the mountains. By faith, he conquered the thing that had got him there and wrote a song. That was quite a song. We have writer, been mentioned many times, wrote many songs in the book that we use. Evening Light book, wrote a number of very spiritual books. A man named Naylor. How do you go on when something befalls you? My understanding was that he was paraplegic, quadriplegic. I don't know if he could use his hands or not. I don't think he could. I don't know at what point what happened to him, but a man that had supposedly years ahead of him now lays infinite in a bed. He lays and can't help himself and must have had many, many depressing times. Faith is a must. The lesson of this is faith. Yes. Faith in God. Yes. And doubt not, because we'll all face the mountains. Everybody in here will face things that's going to be bigger than you. And it's going to take faith to be able to be joyful in the middle of it, to have the vision through it all, and to really be able to prosper and do what the Lord wants us to do. I don't think C.W. Naylor had it right off. But he saw the mountain. Now what do you do? Are you a man without a gift now? I imagine there was many times that he laid there and said, Lord, why did you leave me here like this? Take me on, for I'm useless. Lord said, no, you've seen the mountain out of your way. Yes. Have faith that I can bring gold out of you if you'll remove the mountain. See, God's the remover of the mountain. His power removes it, but it's our faith that activates it. He's not going to move the mountain for us without it. Believe in me and your gift can go on. And C.W. Naylor contributed mightily to the blessings of others after he couldn't feel like he could do anything was probably his golden time. Once he got the mountain out of the way. Once he could see what his benefit was. Once he could focus and get on what he was supposed to really be on. Lord, help us. Because here is the inevitable facts for most of us. We may get the privilege of going and meeting the Lord in some kind of a special moment when the Lord comes. Or we may have to, maybe in a flash or in a moment of a car wreck, maybe we may get the opportunity to go out instantly. But I will prophesy for most of us. We will probably, most of us, get to see the reality of our dying. And it's a mountain. And if you get the chance to get older and older and older, you may get to the time that you are a captive in your own body. And it won't allow you to do any of the things that you enjoyed or do. And you're a mind and alive and thinking inside of a prison called the flesh. And it's a mountain that needs to be crossed. Or go around it. Or get around it. And sometimes people wrestle and try. And Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, you can say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea. And it'll be done. All of these things that befalls mankind are these mountains that the Lord said, it'll be too big for you. But if you have faith, you can move the mountain out of the way. And you can go right on being that faithful, blessed, joyful individual that I want you to be, no matter what the circumstances is. Because the circumstances is not really the mountain. It is always your attitude towards the circumstance that's the mountain. Sickness isn't nothing to the Lord. It is to us. It's my mentality to it. I read a book one time that said famous sayings of saints and famous last words of saints and sinners. Some of those saints, oh boy, what a challenge, so challenging. One of them said about death that was right at his door. He said, somebody said something to death, and he said, oh, death. Death is my best friend next to Jesus. Because it's death that's going to take me to Him. Oh, it's a friend. I welcome. It's not the problem. It's our attitude towards it. It's the mountain. When you see it as the opportunity, the stepping stone, when you see it for what the Lord has made it to be, then it's not a mountain anymore. We can be removers of the mountains. Lord, help us to have the grace and the power and the strength. The faith. It's faith in God that removes the mountain. The song says, faith in God can move the mighty mountains. Faith in God can calm the sea. Faith. You've got to have faith in God. We can look at this nation that we live in now, and we can say, it can be discouraging to us. Well, yeah, it can be. Because it's going opposite of Christianity. It's going opposite of God. It's laughing at God. It's smacking God in the face. It's mocking God. It's doing all those things. And we're His people. But I want to encourage you about something. It's only our attitude about it that gets us. If it depresses you, it's your attitude towards it. Because God is not in the business of failing. And He's not going to let down and fail His people. Not now. He didn't ever do it. He's never going to do it now. And we can be encouraged that we are in a place to be able to glean souls for the Lord. There's a lot of people that is disturbed about this, that is moving towards a higher power, and we're there to be able to do it. This can be a golden time for us. But we've got to move the mountain out of the way to be able to see it clearly. The Lord, we're still in business of soul business. We're wanting siblings. We're wanting children in the church. We're wanting newness in the church. Lord, help us to be able to see through this time and move the mountain out of there of discouragement and depression and what this world, and be able to do the work of God right in the middle of all of it. Oh, Lord, help us. He didn't say, I'm the mover of mountains. He said, by faith. If you'll have faith and doubt not, you will be. Not Him. By His power. Is that, can we say amen to that and say, I understand this Scripture. I've removed the mountains. The last verse of this said, and what a challenge. And all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, many people would say, now I like that. That's kind of like the genie in the bottle. You rub the bottle and the genie comes out. You know, poof. You get 3 wishes now. Anything you want. But you can't wish for more wishes. You can't do that. But you can wish. You get 3 wishes. Like, this is something that, oh goody. Give me the big house. I want a car and I want all the money. I want hell. I want all these things. It's just like the tree. And it's just like the mountain. This is like that too. He's not talking about this as a wish list. I'm gonna send you the catalog and you get whatever you want to pacify your carnality. No. When your heart is perfect towards God and the desire that you have in your life is that I want to be more like Christ, you can actually say amen to this Scripture. I've seen this work. Everything that I prayed for, I got. I prayed, Lord, I got a bad attitude and it's destroying me. Can you help me? Get rid of it. Amen. And it was done. When I said, Lord, I desire that my life would glorify you more. It cost something, but I got it. Lord, I want to be more like you in the way I live. It cost something. It cost some humiliation. It cost some suffering. It cost me something. But I got my prayer request answered. What a Scripture. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. What do you want tonight? Can I encourage you tonight that if you want to pray that a mountain be removed to the glory of God, He'll move it. If you want to pray that you would have a better a relationship with somebody that, or have a better view towards them because you got a bad view towards them, you can have your prayer answered. If it's something that gnaws at that gut down in there that you don't feel right about, something in your life that you haven't been able to overcome, something that you're doing that's a hindrance to you in living for the Lord, I challenge you to pray about it by faith and you'll be able to answer this, to say this Scripture. Everything I prayed about, God answered. The Lord gave me the desires. If your ways please the Lord. See, we like to say, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, good, I've always wanted that sports car. That's not it. When your ways please the Lord and your prayers are pointed towards the glory of God and the will of God and the desire of God in this earth, He'll give you your prayers. Lord, I desire to be a better Christian. I desire to have more faith. Lord, you know what the Scripture says. The man said, Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe. But help my unbelief. Jeremiah wasn't, or Ezekiel. Ezekiel comes out and is visiting, and there's this the valley of dry bones. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, can these bones live again?" Well, how are you going to answer that? I don't want to go against faith, but it sure don't look like it. Just dried up bones. But the one that says death to the fig tree can say life to it.
Yes.
Prophesy to it. Prophet, son of man, prophesy to it. Can they? Thou knowest. Thou knowest by faith your dry bones can walk again. By faith you can be renewed. By faith you can have the desire that you once had that you want again. By faith you can have it again. Because the Lord can spark it again. Can breathe into it. He can give it life again. You may say, I used to be so much more passionate about the Lord. My salvation was new and on fire, and I've lost it over the years and don't feel that way. It don't have to remain that way.
Amen.
By faith, the Lord can add it back, give it back. Can it live again? Thou knowest, Lord. Prophesy to it and it'll stand up and it all comes together and the flesh comes on and all this. Man, son of man, can it live again? I don't know about that either. Prophesy to the wind. At the end of this, there's going to be a great army that was dead, alive again. Can we be what we're supposed to be in this time, 2015? Can you still be spiritual? Can you be like Paul and Peter? Can you still see the miracles? Can you still do the work of God? Can you still do that? Looks awful dry. In this time world, nobody wants the Lord. Can I tell you something? There's people out there that want to be saved. There's people out there that still want the Lord.
Yes.
We can still be the army. If we can be the remover of mountains. If we can have faith in God. This lesson of this scripture was, have faith in God.
Amen.
And doubt not. The Lord has got the power to do all that if we can but believe. You pray for me.